got some that are sick and suffering from some illness, and we've got those that are recovering from surgery. But while we have some that are missing, it's good to have some back. Brother Vince, it's good to have you back. We're grateful, and we can rejoice in the recovery that he's made and his ability to be with us this morning. We want to welcome our visitors. I've had an opportunity to meet a couple of visitors this morning, and we may have more, but we're thankful that you have made the choice to worship with us this morning, and we pray that we will be an encouragement to you as much as you are an encouragement to us by your presence here. Before we get started in the lesson, let's go to God in prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you just for your grace and your mercy and your love that you shower down upon us every day. And Father, as we come together this morning, we're grateful that we can be here as a body of your people. And Father, we know that as we come together, there are some among us that are struggling with health situations, and Father, that might have burdens that are bearing down upon them. And it's easy for all of us sometimes, Father, to be distracted and for our minds to be pulled in different directions. But what we pray as we come together this morning, that this will be a place of healing. Father, that it'll be a place of comfort, where we can experience you as we study through your word. And Father, we can be encouraged by each other and by our presence together. And Father, we can remind each other of the incredible blessing and responsibility that we have to walk like Jesus. Father, we pray that you would bless us as we open your word and study from it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Dr. Bruce Grayson is a psychiatrist who specializes in neurobehavioral sciences at the University of Virginia. And in fact, he is a world-renowned expert in the study of people that have gone through near-death experiences. In fact, he has studied it for some four decades, actually. And in November of last year, Newsweek magazine ran an interview with Dr. Grayson. And there were several questions that were posed to him, and one of them I found interesting, and I want to share it with you. The reporter asked Dr. Grayson, he said, "Do people who have had near-death experiences, do they experience profound changes in their lives afterwards?" So after somebody goes through an experience like this that would be classified as near-death, do their lives change? Are they any different? I want you to notice Dr. Grayson's response. He says this. He says, "Definitely. As a psychiatrist, this is the most fascinating aspect to me because I make my living trying to help people change their lives." He says, "That's very difficult to do, but here's this experience that in a few seconds can totally transform someone's attitudes, values, beliefs, and behavior. They typically make people more spiritual, if I can use that word. They make them more compassionate, more caring, more altruistic, and they become much less interested in physical things, in material goods, in power, prestige, fame, and competition." And there are a couple things that I find striking about Dr. Grayson's response. The first one is this. He says that these experiences make people more spiritual. And I chuckle because he had to qualify, if I can use that word, as if it's some taboo word or something. But I find it interesting because it reminds me of a truth that we find in God's Word, firmly established in Romans chapter 1, that God has put something inside of everybody that makes us long for something greater than ourselves. And it's possible, as Romans chapter 1 would talk about, to suppress that. But Dr. Grayson reminds us through his studies that there's something inside of mankind that recognizes, when we pause and reflect, that there's something beyond us. But then the second thing that interests me is this. He says, once people experience this, they become much less interested in physical things. But then he defines those physical things: material goods, power, prestige, fame, competition. You see, what happens is those things get in between a person's desire for the spiritual, and they don't recognize it again until they go through this near-death experience. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 13, because Jesus, in many ways, would talk about these physical things: material goods, power, prestige, fame, and competition. He would just classify them a little differently. He would call them cares of the world. You see, in Matthew chapter 13, we read of Jesus telling the parable of the sower. And he talks about how a sower went out to sow at the end of verse 3. And verse 4 says, "As he sowed, some seeds fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground." Verse 7, "Other seeds fell among thorns." Verse 8, "Other seeds fell on good soil." And then later on, beginning in verse 18, he would explain this parable and what it means. And I want you to focus in with me on verse number 22. "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." In essence, Jesus is saying that material goods, power, prestige, fame, competition, the cares of the world get in between the word, the message of Christ, the good news that we would call it, get in between the person and their relationship ultimately with Christ, how they would respond. For the past couple of weeks, we've been engaged in this series of lessons on discipleship. And we need to pause this morning, and I want us to consider this idea of cares of the world. What can come between us and Christ in our effort to follow Him? And how can we overcome these cares of the world that Jesus would talk about here in Matthew chapter 13, and that even Dr. Grayson would recognize through his research that can get between a person and their desire for more? But for us, it's not just the spiritual, it's specifically Jesus and His influence in our life and us seeing Him clearly and trying to follow Him, because at the simplest definition, that's what discipleship really is. It's following Jesus. So what I'd like for us to do is really two things. I want us to first look at what I'm going to call the wrong approach. What's the wrong way to approach the cares of the world? Stay in the book of Matthew and flip over just a few pages to chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And I want us to begin studying together in verse number 16. "And behold, a man came up to him," Jesus, "saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, I think sometimes when we read this parable, and I'm going to guess many of us here this morning have heard this parable before. Not the first time that you've either read it or it's been read to you. Now, I'm afraid sometimes we give this young man maybe a little bit of a bad rap. We look at him and it's easy to kind of jump in and criticize him.